What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Sith Council, big thing. And you know what we're talking about today. It's going to be a full-on spoiler discussion of The Mandalorian Season 3, Episode 1. There's other news. I think there's some Acolyte director talk and other things. If we get to it, we get to it. But we're really just going to dive deep into this episode because I got Steph here. Steph and myself, Mike couldn't make it today. He's got to work, so he's not going to be able to be here with us. But we will. We'll talk about it in depth. I'll talk a little bit about the event that we went to last night, myself and Brett. I got some footage from that show or that event last night where they actually, both Favreau and Filoni introduced the episode. And then right after the episode, they brought out Katie and Pedro Pascal, and I have that footage. I'll play all that for you guys today also. But it's really going to get into a deep dive into episode one. Full disclosure, I have seen two episodes. I am not going to spoil, I won't spoil the second episode at all, I promise you. But I will say that it is awesome, and that the first episode is going to, definitely leads into the second one, which is spectacular. But before we get into any of that, if you're brand new to the channel, you've never been here before, you need to show just a little bit of class. Just an ounce. That's all we're asking for. And hit that button. Subscribe. Look at that. You got the Sith Council sweatshirt rocking it. Hopefully that's what Steph will be wearing when I send her to Star Wars Celebration. We're waiting to hear word on that. But that's it, man. Look at that. You can get yourself one of those. We're almost at 100 of those sold. So hopefully you can be number 100 and get it. Make it happen. By the way, if you haven't checked out, you want to win a Bo-Katan signed helmet by Katie Sackhoff? Well, if you want to do that, you got to go to our interview that we posted for her on Monday. It's on the channel right now, and you can find out how to do that. You can enter that contest, and we're going to announce it on who the winner is on Sith Council in late April when The Mandalorian Season 3 has wrapped. Katie's going to come back on the show, and we're going to interview her, talk to her about all the moments that happened in The Mandalorian. So if you haven't already, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're on Spotify. We're on video on Spotify. So hopefully you check that out and get yourself the video over on Spotify and you listen to us on audio on the drive. Patreon.com/TheBigThingShow. All right, everybody. It's myself. It is Steph Sabraw. Let's do it. Sith Council, big thing. Let's do it.
I can feel your anger. It gives you focus, makes you stronger.
Welcome back, everybody. Sith Council. Me. Steph.
Hello.
Steph, you look like a classy news reporter.
Hello, and on tonight's episode, we are only going to be talking about the Purgels.
The improv class is working. nice to see you. We haven't seen each other in a little bit on the show. It's been a couple weeks.
I know.
You're back.
Back for the freaking Mandalorian.
What a way to be back. Because we had a this is bothering me, not because you, because of me. It's a me thing, not a you thing.
Okay, good.
The Mandalorian is back, and before we even get into it, and I'm going to talk about this a lot on Big Thing tomorrow also. But we went to this event, myself and Brett. And it was the first kind of event that Brett went to, and we get there, and it was pretty great. Brendan Wayne, who is John Wayne's grandson, great grandson or grandson, great grandson.
I don't know,
but he's related to John Wayne. But anyway, so he's like the swagger of the Mandalorian. That's him. So my buddy Steve Byrne, who I've been friends with for a very long time, had texted me and goes, "Hey, would you want Brendan on the show?" And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Of course I'd like Brendan on the show."
Yeah.
And so Brendan and I were texting, and he texted me 2 days ago, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to that thing. I'd love to meet you." He goes, "Find me, dude. Let's talk." So he was literally the first person I saw when I got there. And I walked up to him, and Brett and I started talking to him a little bit. Super, can't wait to have him on. We're gonna bring him on Sith. He's gonna come on.
Hell yeah. Is he really tall?
He's like my height, a little taller than me. But we have a lot of mutual friends, which was awesome also. We were talking about that for a little bit, and then obviously he was doing his thing, and then the people were just taking pictures, and as we got there, we sat down in the seat, and Brett was like, he's like, "Oh, they sat us upstairs." He's like, they don't want us to be around anybody." I'm like, "That's not how it works." I'm like, you're probably gonna see some of the cast." And he's like, "Really?" So, and I'm like, "Yeah, look at the view that we got right now. This is pretty good seats." And so we look over, Bill Burr sitting there, right? And then we look around, we're like, "Oh, that's
icon."
Awesome. And then within seconds, we look over, and then he's then talking to Ming-Na, who shows up, who then starts talking to Deborah Chow, who then starts talking to Rosario Dawson. We're like, oh, wow, we're right in the thick of it. And then, as I mentioned to you, I was like, who is that person that just walked in? Because that is an attractive person. And it was Mercedes Moné, a.k.a. Sasha Banks. And I was like, wow, everybody is here right now. And it's awesome. It's a lot of fun. And then
they've collected such a cool cast.
They really did.
And like people involved.
Because a lot of these people, at least in the first two episodes, I can say that, are not in the series. Yeah. They were just there to support. Which was surprising to me because I don't know if Burr shows up at all, whatever, too. But him and Favreau are buddies, but they must be really close friends because Burr's not a big Star Wars guy. But maybe because he's working with his family and everything, too, he wanted to show up and he wanted to get out and go see it. But, like, it was cool to see the cast doing their thing. But as I mentioned up top, I got some video of both Favreau and Filoni introducing the first episode. Here you go. So it was cool to see them kind of doing their thing, you know, and like introducing it. And that allows us now to kind of go into the spoiler of it all. What'd you think of the first episode?
I was so happy that it was back.
Yeah.
It reminded me, it kicks you in the face of, because we just finished Andor. And it's like, that was my favorite show of last year. And I was like, it might be my favorite show of Star Wars. And then you watch The Mandalorian, you're like, they just understand the assignment beyond measure. And they have this element of fun that Andor just can't afford because of the timeline and the story that they're telling.
Yeah, well,
but
people are going to compare because it's the last live action show. But I think that what I said in my out of the theater reaction was that you know how much I love Andor.
Right.
Andor handles their lane really well, perfectly. Yeah, really well. The thing is, though, Mandalorian is a Star Wars soup.
Yeah, I feel like a kid. I have the darksaber, got it from Star Wars, from the Galaxy's Edge, had it with me during the episode, and it just makes me feel like a kid. Like, I'm like, what the heck? Like, from the beginning, and I just feel like the way they paced this episode, there was so much in one episode. Every time I thought that they might be doing, like, from the beginning when they were doing this kind of ritual with the young foundling who was going to become a Mandalorian.
Did you know right away that was him, or did you think it was a flashback with Din?
I thought it could be a flashback, which I thought was really smart, because I think that that was probably on purpose to let us know, but it was such a great comparison to just show you how, like, these kids are so young and that could have, that was Din at a time.
It was
promising these rules that they can't really understand at this age, and then having to live a lifetime with that pressure of being the Mandalorian.
You know what I hope happens, though, with this kid?
Huh?
Is that it feels like, because we'll talk about what goes down in a second, but it feels like we're probably never going to see that kid again. He's probably just going to be, I want him to be a character in 10 or 15 years. I almost like, it doesn't have to be the same actor, it could be someone, but I just like, that was the kid. It doesn't have to be a full, it could be, that kid was someone, you remember that whole scene when with the armor when it came out and the big freaking alligator came out? That was the kid that made his ritual, and now he's a badass and 10, 15.
And like showing where the Mandalorians are now how religious they are.
How great would it be if the Lindelof movie, it doesn't have to be necessarily about that kid, but what happens if there's a Mandalorian that shows up? They don't even explain it. They don't have to be like, I was the kid that was doing the ritual. You find out his name, and then through someone in the internet going, no, look at the name. That's the same kid.
Right.
Except he's 40 or 50 years old now.
That'd be sick.
That's what I mean. Like something like that. It's not necessary, but I just think things like that would be interesting. But
that kid is the same actor who played the young Tusken Raider.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I read that, and I was like, well, that's cool.
That is cool. Yeah. I mean, you can do it for sure. Yeah,
why not?
Yeah, but they did this whole thing, you know, where they had this ritual, and you weren't really sure yet, even then, if it was Din or not, but then I guess you kind of realized once you saw Vizsla that maybe it wasn't him, because Vizsla seemed to be the same age.
Well, but it's hard because of the mask, right?
So you're not sure.
Even with the armor, I was like, "What is this, a flashback for the armor?"
Right, because and even the helmet itself, it's like, well, maybe he lost that helmet down the line. You don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But then right as it's Vizsla who realizes like something's going on. Now this scene is very classic Mandalorian now. After three seasons, it's like you have like these big creatures.
Right.
And the CGI inside of this scene, by the way, is pretty phenomenal. This poor guy was a snack.
I know. It's so, okay, so there was a moment where I was like, if this is the episode, I don't know if I love it.
If it was the full episode.
Right. Like this entire thing. Yeah. And if this was, which is why the writing's so great, because as soon as Din came with the razor, I was like, hell yeah.
Right,
like,
okay,
I see what this is. But I thought the CGI was so great, but I was like, the Mandalorians are the sickest. Like, you know, they're the most fearsome opponents, but this guy just got eaten up during like a baptism.
Well, what I said in the spoiler review is just like, hey, Jerry, what are you doing today? Well, I was going to watch The Last of Us. The kid's getting his due. You want to go? I was like, I don't think so. He's like, come on, it'll be fun.
Right,
this is the kid go, and he gets eaten by an alligator.
Yeah, he's like, I told you I didn't want to go. Yeah.
But the only thing that, I don't want to say bugged me, but I was like, come on, you could have done a little bit. These guys are badasses, right?
Yes.
And they're flipping up. They're flying around. They don't even damage this thing at all.
Because they keep hitting the shell.
Nothing they're doing is help. And then here he comes, zipping through. Now, did he crash into it?
No, he put like a bomb.
Bomb into it and then took off. Okay.
I feel like Galaxy 101 is you don't go for the shell, you go for under the shell.
Right, and that's what he blows it up. But I'm telling you, the freaking Wildlife Association's coming after Din. He kills an animal every season.
Fully.
So he shows up, and this got a major, major pop inside of the theater. He lands. They look. There's the slop, and then Grogu pops up.
Amazing. As soon as Grogu, I paused it. I was like, I can't.
Well, so let me ask you a question, because I don't feel like it happened yet. And even I've seen two episodes, and I still don't think it's happened yet. My concern is that they're going to overuse Grogu, and that they're gonna over, like, look how cute he is, look how cute he is, and like, it's, I don't feel like it's happened yet, but I feel like it could.
I do think it could. Not for me, but for I'm in the really small frame of people that I cannot grow goo fatigue. Mm-hmm. I have it's my problem. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed. But I do think that that's why in that article that Mike sent us about Favreau saying that 2 years. It's 2 years and he said 2 years of training, it's kind of I do think that they're going to be smart about it and not be as cute but be able to give him more abilities because he's going to have to be useful or it's like classic writing where you can't to have a baby involved in a show slows down the show.
Yeah, it does. No, and I think he's definitely got to be a character kind of come into his own way in that I even though and I think even again not spoiling anything, I think that what you just said is pretty much the way they're approaching him. And I think that because he trained for a little bit and he has been with Luke and he knows how to use this thing, he's still, it's like, I look at him like kind of like as Grogu was getting older, like he's not baby, not Grogu, Groot.
Yeah.
As Groot was getting older, like he was, same thing. He's like, he's a teenage Groot, same type of thing of how he's now being. But I just, like I said, like there's a lot of times even in both episode one and two, and it's like, hey, look at like he's in the this one he's spinning around in a chair and it's adorable. It's like let's not do that for the entire
season.
I
agree.
Yeah,
I do agree because there's so I'm as obsessed as I am with Grogu, I am truly so into the lore of the Mandalorians and like the religious zealots versus like the new age and like where they're going to end up. And I think that's so important to explore. And that's what sets this show apart.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they and the balance and the tone of it. 99.9% of the humor in this episode landed. There was one joke that I said, come on, we don't need to do that. Do you know which one it was?
Wait, no, what is it?
When the Terminator IG-11 droid comes in and they push the thing and Din goes, well, that's using your head.
Oh,
it's like
that
was such like a Stallone like action movie quote, like or Arnold would have done that.
Yeah.
It just didn't fit. Like
I agree.
Yeah. The rest of the humor fit really well, but that one was out of place.
Yeah, I don't think and that wasn't very like Din comment.
No. No, it wasn't. It was like a Marvel joke out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, but the majority of the show did not have it. Grogu spinning in the chair was hilarious.
Yeah.
The stuff that the Carl Weathers annihilated the humor in this. He was so great in it.
He's the perfect humor balance for the show.
Because it fits the character.
Yes.
And it fit the character inside when he's talking to Din and he says to him, he goes, oh, yeah, or your little buddy or whatever he says. And he goes, Grogu. He's like, what? He goes, Grogu. He's like, nah, whatever. It was perfect. It was a great line.
Yeah, because he's cocky. Yeah. He's, like, in his robes.
He's a pompous politician now. But he's still got it. But he still can throw down. But going back to what you're talking about with the zealots and stuff. And the way that I equated it stuff is that when he's walking through here, didn't he feel like a little kid? Like, hey, Mom, I did a good thing, right?
Right. Yeah. He was, like, waiting to be, like, patted on the back.
Yeah.
And she didn't even mention it.
No, because she's like, yeah, you did what you're supposed to do, but guess what? You're not a Mandalorian because you broke the rules. He's like, yeah, but I'm, how much I got paid for it? He's like, what if I go bathe in the water? She's like, you can't do that either.
I can't wait to see what they do with his own journey, like spiritual journey with this and how he thinks about this and what are going to be the things that he sees that changes his view on this. Because even if he goes harder into it, he has to change a little bit. You know, he's either going to go like more into it or less into it.
And that's exactly right. But it shows you how important the beginning scene was. Like, as you said, like that whole thing with the initiation and showing how
This is serious
and this is life, you know, and like showing Grogu listening to all of it as Grogu's kind of training to be a Mandalorian now. And but like the crystallization of the planet and saying that Mandalore is still able to be, you know, breathable, that he's going to go check it out. And I loved, he's like, look, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go bathe in the water and then I'm going to cleanse myself. And she goes, all right, this is the way.
Yeah, I know. It's like, that's all you need.
That's it. You can do that. If that's what you're going to do, and you're going to, if you think you can make it happen, I'm not going to stand in your way. Then
yeah.
That's the rules.
Yeah, she's a cool character because of that. I also thought, like, the whole show did a really, really great job of showing the juxtaposition between, like, newer age thinking and past age thinking. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, the Mandalorians were going to all get eaten up by this alligator crocodile.
Yeah.
And then here comes Din in this, like, newer tech ship. Blows him up in one shot.
Well, I mean, newer tech in a certain aspect is still from the prequels.
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying, like, it just is like, but you see it with, even like Bo-Katan's character, which we'll talk about, mm-hmm. it's like she even thinks they're zealots, but then they're all willing to be like, oh, the Darksaber.
Right.
It's like, that's zealot.
Yeah,
like,
right, right. It's there's still a religion too. Yeah. Still, it's just why it's absolutely right. This is like, why is your religion, why is that more extreme than mine?
Yeah.
When I have the same amount of type of rules that are just different than right. yours, right?
You dunked on me for wearing a mask, made fun of me in front of all your homies, right. and then but you guys all
they
all
won't
of them,
follow you unless you have that saber.
Saber.
Yeah, it's great. And it is absolutely, and they play into that, and it also is the reason why Favreau and Filoni are making this show. These guys love the Mandalorian culture. I mean, they love it. From back in the day, from the Clone Wars series, from the stuff they did in Rebels, it plays, and they're having a lot of fun with it. And there's, and we're about to talk about it in a second, there's like a major reference to Rebels. And not only to Rebels, though, I think the overall, this big event that we're talking about with Thrawn and everything else,
yeah.
too. And I know that it's going to play into Ahsoka, but I think there's more to it. So Din, you know, gets the okay, and he's like, all right, go bathe in the water, and good luck to you, and we'll see you when we see you. And I love these little scenes and when they're in the ship, and they're flying through, and he's teaching himself about navigation.
Yeah.
He's teaching Grogu about, like, what it's like to be, because he's all in now, Din. He's all,
yeah.
this is his kid, and he's going to teach him about all the rules and how it's going to work. And Grogu is up in this little ship, and this is where I told Steph in the, this, I never do this, but I was in the theater last night watching, and by the way, Mandalorian on a movie screen is incredible. It really needs to be a movie. The series finale needs to be a movie. So Grogu looks out the window, and he sees this. And I went, oh my God, out loud. And I was like, and I caught myself going, oh, geek, right? And because it's the pearls, right?
Yes.
The
Purgils.
Purgils, the space whales.
Yeah.
And for people, again, I play play this. This is from Rebels.
Yes.
And and yeah, so you see this, and it's like, this is just, and he's reaching out to him. Din doesn't see it. He sees it. And you also, that's the shot.
Right.
You see how big those things are.
Right, right.
Because that's the ship in the middle, and those are the Purgils.
Yeah.
And they're flying through, and this is going to start to play together, all this stuff, like the Thrawn stuff, the Ahsoka stuff, the skeleton crew stuff, I think. That leads us to our big major event. It was a nice little tease.
Yeah, I didn't think about the big major event. I definitely thought about Ahsoka and Ezra. And I thought it was really good for people who hadn't watched Rebels to be like, okay, they're going through hyperspace. There's these creatures that are also going through hyperspace.
And they don't know what it is.
And it's like they're... So you can kind of put it together that, like, oh, they can go through hyperspace.
Kind of. But I think that if you're... maybe... I'm so curious.
Or maybe because I know.
I think it's definitely because you know, and I also saw somebody who said, like, someone wrote this on the spoiler review, when I looked at it, I had never watched Rebels, but I remember you talking about it and saying, oh, those must be the space whales, because but if it's someone like a casual viewer who just watches The Mandalorian, I would assume they're watching it going, oh, what are those things?
Yeah, that just looks freaking awesome.
This is so cool.
yeah.
And the fact that they were able to turn that into, like, the way that they did that was smart, because it's not a major plot point yet.
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of Grogu noticing it in hyperspace.
It's a perfect Easter egg.
It really, really was. And I was like, that was kind of like my geek out. I felt like that's what happens when, like, Koi watches Marvel and DC movies.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I actually know this.
Like, I knew, like, I was like, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, watching these little things kind of happen. I'm always looking for these little Easter eggs for things that tie together. And that's why I get so, like, you know, bummed when it comes to, like, the novels and the comics that they don't do that kind of stuff for it. But it's the TV shows. Like, we've invested all this time in Rebels. We've invested all this time in Clone Wars. And if you're a Rebels fan, you got rewarded last night. It's not like you didn't if you're not a Rebels fan, but you just have to figure it out later on. And I thought they did it very smart in how they did that.
Yeah, I did too. I thought that the show just did a good job of integrating all different types of fans. Because if you didn't watch Book of Boba, you got that recap with the armor.
Right.
In a way that we had already seen that.
Right, she kind of told us a little bit about it too. And even the beginning, they kind of give us a little bit of a breakdown. I still think they could have probably given you a little bit more of the how it all went down. But I think... Because, you know, in the trailer, you see the sabers and stuff, and they're going to show you how he was rescued. I bet you in the previously on for that episode, they show a little bit more of Luke in the previously on, like showing like how the training and they probably show Ahsoka talking about like remember when Ahsoka touched him and saw all of that. She already knows. They'll probably show a little of that in the pre when that happens. Are we going to move on and keep talking about the episode and giving a breakdown out of it? But before we do, I wanted to tell you guys both about BetterHelp and Athletic Greens. Hey, everybody. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm such a big fan of BetterHelp, man. I'm excited to tell you guys about them because I have friends that have been using BetterHelp because of this show. Been helping themselves out, and I hope that it can help one of you guys out. When you're at your best, you can do great things, but sometimes life gets you bogged down, and you can feel overwhelmed, and maybe you're not showing up the way you normally do, and you're in that rut. If you work with a therapist, it can help you get closer to the best version of you, because when you feel empowered, you get more prepared to take on everything that life throws at you. I will tell you this. I was sitting with a friend, and a friend needed help. And I had been working with BetterHelp for a little bit, and I had recommended BetterHelp to my friend. And BetterHelp helped my friend. And I hope that BetterHelp can help you. Because if you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp, it really is a great option. It's convenient, it's flexible, it's affordable, and it's entirely online. So you fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime, no additional charge. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. So visit BetterHelp.com/big thing today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/big thing. Also, got to tell you guys, I've told you guys many times over about our buddies over at Athletic Greens. I love Athletic Greens so much. I love them. AG1 by Athletic Greens, man. They're so good. They're so good. And this is the other one. This is my wife this morning takes all these vitamins, and I go, how do you do that? I can't take a whole bunch of vitamins. I like doing it all in one shot. And that's what I do with Athletic Greens. I love it. I take it all the time. Every day. You guys know that. How long have I been talking about Athletic Greens now? Athletic Greens, it's better gut health. It's increased energy. It's, you know, for me, it's the sleep quality. That's what I've been doing. The sleep quality is the best. You can do it right. You can, whether you're working out or before you're making your coffee, whatever you're doing, you feel ready to go. And it's like, it's the health kick. It really is. Between my diet that I have, which I'll tell you about later, and then and Athletic Greens, I've been doing good. I've been having good energy. People have been noticing that. I like that. It helped me with my energy. And why do you want to take a whole bunch of different things? You just take this and that's it. I take it in a bottle of water and I shake it up and I love it. And AG1 was designed with ease in mind so you can live healthier and better with having to do a lot. People love it. Katie Sackhoff is, like I said, she's coming in on Monday, and I talked about Athletic Greens on the show, and she loves Athletic Greens. And I'm going to leave that in the show when she says it, of course. It's delivered to me every month, very easy to make it a daily habit. So if you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens, it gives you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. But you have to go to athleticgreens.com/big thing. athleticgreens.com/big thing.
Thank you. I'd like to bring out two of our cast members, Mr. Pedro Pascal and Peggy. Has visited Tate Fletcher. And there's also a few other Mandalorians here, Lateef Crowder and Brendan Wayne. And we have a lot of people who are here also who, you want to... Go on, let's just go. Terry Gilchrist, Rick Famuyiwa, Carrie Beck, John Bartnicki, John Hampion, Colin Wilson, Peter Ramsey, Ludwig Göransson, Doug Chang, Andrew Jones, Sarah Finnan, Shauna Chutek, and Joe Shirley. Hey, but let's hear it. Let's give a round of applause to our director of this episode, Rick Famuyiwa. So thank you so much for coming. Do you want to say a few words? You two, you have microphones. You may as well say something.
I know they handed me one and I got scared. I'm just so excited for everyone to finally see this. So many people in this room gave love and sweat and tears and everything because we love Star Wars and we love the fans. And I'm just so happy that it's finally here so everyone can watch it.
Brendan, Lateef, I see you, I miss you, and I don't know, congratulations everybody, all the heart and all the dedication is finally gets to be shared with everyone, and I can't wait until you see what happens and what she does to me.
Another few days. Can you keep a secret for another few days and not share anything? Can you keep a secret for another week?
Yeah.
All right, we have another episode. You can't just watch one, you know. Dave, anything you want to say before we end?
No, I want to watch the episode. I'm so excited.
Up to speed for those of you who need to catch up. It's been a while, and then we'll launch into the episode here, Mandalorian Season 3, Episode 2. Wow.
All right, thank you once again to our friends over at both BetterHelp and Athletic Greens. Very excited to have both of them on board. They're phenomenal, and you guys should check it out. And that's how you help out the show and you help out yourself. Go check it out. The link is not only in the description, I pin it to the first comment of the show. All right, let's get back into it, Steph. So we have space whales. I mean, I love that shot. I love that shot so much because it gives you the scale of how big those things are.
For sure. It's so well done. It's cool to see, like, even though some people get annoyed of Grogu and this child, but it's like there is something amazing about viewing things from the eyes of a child.
100%. And I think, you know, look, he's definitely pretty beloved, and I think that he's going to do more stuff that make people like him more so, because I agree, he can't just be the baby the whole time. He's got to do more, and I think he's going to. But this was another thing that they did very well. Although I do have one, I wonder if we have the same gripe. They go to Navarro.
Yep.
And they head to Navarro, and it's so great to see what Navarro has been, because remember, we spent a lot of time in Navarro in season one.
Yeah.
And they
shite.
Yeah, and it was. And you look at this build out of what they've done and what Greef essentially has done. And you look, I mean, we've seen this shot so many times, but never like this. It's like flourishing. And he walks through, and this was such, you're talking about Star Wars soup. Like, look at just the back with the droid in there and like all the different, like, you get the Mon Calamari, mm-hmm. You got the monkeys in the trees, you got the freaking protocol droids. This to me, it looked like Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, it definitely did. So that's what your gripe was?
No. Oh, okay. No. I loved it.
I thought it was really good because the monkeys in the tree, I forget what they're called, but they were being skewered.
Kazakians, whatever. Yeah.
They were being skewered in season one, right. and now they're thriving. Yeah. Like, woo!
Yeah, it's true. I don't know why they got speared, but still.
I guess they like monkey meat.
Yeah, somebody else got, the previous shot right before us, something else was getting eaten.
Yeah.
But either way, they set that whole thing up, and he's walking through with Grogu, and he's moving, you know, you see it through his eyes, and you're seeing like now what this has become, and you know, I loved it. I loved the setup for it because it does show it. I tell you, one of my bigger gripes that I've always had since season one is these 34-minute episodes.
Oh yeah,
come on. Come on. It's like this. We could spend at least like 45 minutes on in general. Like, I think that some of the, it takes away from a little bit more of the character development by making them so short. I don't get it why they make them so short, but that's not my particular gripe with this. It's Kids in the Street. And this is my gripe.
Okay.
My gripe is that I love IG-11, right?
Yeah.
And what he did and the idea they go and there's this big statue and they honored him as they should. He's stepping on a stormtrooper's head. Why do we need to bring him back? Why do we need to bring him back? He died. It's like it takes it away. It's like, because I liked that they tried to bring him back. It's like, hey, listen, I got to try to bring him back. And Grief's like, well, I'll give you another droid. And he's like, I got to try. And the thing pops and tries to kill him. He's like, all right, what's the other droid that you got? Show me what else you got. It sucks. You got to put him back. It's a bum. They would have liked to, you know, you can't cheat it. We tried. But it's like, hey, people like Taika. They think he's funny. Can we bring, is a droid. We can bring him back, right? Yeah, we can find a way to bring him back. It's like, it just cheapens that season finale.
You think it's about Taika?
I think it's partially because of it. I think it's the character also. Because the character, it's a great character.
Right.
But they're just, because it seems a little off that Din was like, Din, who couldn't stand droids. I know he's come around now. I get it. But it's like, he's so adamant.
Yeah.
He's so adamant now that he's got to have this droid back. And it's like, but I have another droid for you. It seems like Din would have been like, okay, fine. It makes sense. Give me the other droid. That was the only little minor gripe. It's like, only bringing him back because people liked him.
I definitely hear that. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Because even when they showed previously on, I was like, why are they showing IG-11? Mm-hmm. Like, that's odd. He died two seasons ago. Right. But then I was like, I don't know. Are they going to use him for something that has to do with Grogu?
They're going to bring him back. They're going to get that chip, and he's probably going to have him back, and we're going to have that dynamic back that we liked, and then the same thing that they did. They brought Grogu back, and it's like, well, let's bring him back. I would almost like that if it was like almost like a Vision type thing. Like, no, we can't recoup him all the way.
But we can take portions
of him and put him in another droid, and you can have that, and we'll create a new droid, but it'll have a lot of those memories. We were able to salvage some of that stuff, and then you want to use Taika's voice for it? Sure, fine. The same way you did for Vision, but it's like, I don't know. It's just a bit. Minor gripe,
right?
But it's just like, Mandalorian's strong. That show is strong enough. You don't need to keep rehashing old characters in season 3.
I hear you.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, I absolutely love this dynamic that these two have because they've been through it.
Yes, definitely. I thought that the whole being back in Navarro was great. Thought such a good way to show how time has passed and how Mando has made an actual difference in the galaxy, especially even just with this one city alone. And then it was a cool introduction to bring in the pirates.
The pirates alone, the way that they did this, but inside of this scene, before we get to the pirates, as we see this thing with Grogu, and you mentioned before his skills, right? Like, we know his skills, and he's using it as a kid. He's not like trying to, I think I know how to use the Force. He knows how to use the Force, and he's hungry and gets himself a snack. Good for him. but Grief is trying to convince Mando to join the crew, to settle down with Grogu, to be here. He's like, there's still a mission to be had. He's like, come on, settle down. Do the thing, and as they're walking through, this is when Steph just mentioned, they bring these pirates come in, and to me, this is such a good blend. This is about as Filoni as you get.
Totally. This,
like the
Great makeup. They all look awesome.
I think they look fantastic. I think that it plucks them right out of the Clone Wars. It plucks them right out of Rebels. It looks good. It doesn't look like people in costumes. I believe that they're aliens, and they have this whole thing of showing you the difference between what Navarro was like back then and what it's like now, where it's like, this is a bar. This is a pub. It's not anymore. It's a school, so come have a drink in my office. No, we want a drink here. Yeah, but have a drink in my office.
Let the kids watch.
Yeah, and it's just, yeah, right, but it's like, come have a drink in my office. Let's. He's trying to be the politician, but he also shows, don't mess with me.
Right.
And I love that Mando is just kind of, this is about, we haven't seen the old school Mando in a little bit. He's been like this new kind of, you know, conformed.
More reserved.
Yeah, but that Mando.
Yeah.
Where he's just watching.
Yeah, he's ready.
He's ready. He's like, it's like he's
safety is off.
Yes. It's like he might have a kid now, but he can still throw down.
Right.
And so can Grief.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fully. He's so, that's, I liked his, that, like you said, like that politician, but he's still ready to fight.
Yeah,
too.
And I love that he's got the little droids holding his cape.
Me too.
His cape. It's
that
amazing.
Was awesome.
It's amazing.
I thought that was such a fun way to be like, oh, you're super into yourself.
Totally
now.
Is. Absolutely. And it's consistent with the character.
Yeah.
Totally consistent with the yeah. character. And then they have, he shows his weapon. Mando's like, okay, cool. You got a weapon. Great. And then Grief shows his weapon. I can still throw down.
Yeah.
And then he blasts the dude, shoots him in the hand. And then you knew it, though. You knew that Mando had to get involved in it. So he, and Mando just whacks all these fools, these morons.
Yeah,
nice try.
Idiots.
And then, but Mando was right, though. Mando says to him, he's like, should we let him got away? And he's like, yeah, because he's going to go now tell people that Navarro is not going to be messed with. That's not what's going to happen.
No.
No, he's going to tell Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing's
yeah.
gonna,
yeah. And it's not like you guys had a full Calvary. Right. You had you two.
Right.
Like, it's not like,
no,
yeah.
it's so, and that, but that also lends to this, what I mentioned in the spoiler review, that I'm curious to see the hell's going on down there. So, I want to see what you thought about this. Now, everybody was mentioning, you know, how are they going to handle Cara Dune? How are they going to mention it? Right. And they do.
Yeah.
They mentioned, I thought they, now there's going to be a lot of arguments about this, I'm sure, if there isn't already. I actually think they handled it pretty well, because he says, I want you to come in here and be the sheriff. And he goes, well, what about Marshal Dune? I want you to be the marshal. What about Marshal Dune? He said, well, after, you know, you had your thing, they recruited her to go fight. And I think that's essentially what was going to happen with the Rangers of the New Republic.
Yeah.
And I think that they just kept that storyline, but they're just not going to show it.
They just said it.
So what I think there is a 0.0001% that Gina Carano ever returns to the role of Cara Dune. But by doing it this way, you never know, and I've being a wrestling fan as long as I have, you never know, even though if you think relationships and fan stuff and all that, there's no chance. There's always a chance, even if this chance is slim.
Yeah.
So by doing, you know, by doing that and saying she's never, you know, she's out fighting the thing, you're not saying she's dead. If you're saying she's dead, then you're going to really.
True. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think there's a chance she comes back. But by saying that, it goes like, okay, but there's still, the character's still out there in this big, vast galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that's the way you have to do it. I think saying that she would have died or something too would have been a major mistake.
Yeah, I feel like that's dramatic, yeah. Just to be dramatic.
Yeah, and spiteful, it would have seemed like, though, too.
Yeah, which is just, like, no need.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just think that would have been petty.
Yeah.
And it's a show, you're professionals, it doesn't need to be petty.
Yeah.
I think that it was good for the people like us and the major fans out there, like people like you guys who watch the show, our show. It's, you remember Cara Dune. I think there's a lot of people, like my family, who watches the show that forgot about the character. And they'll be like,
really?
Who's Marshall Dune? Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Not forgot fully about the character,
yeah.
But like, oh yeah, like they don't even know
yeah.
the drama.
Right,
the
right.
Scenes.
Well, that's what I mean. I really liked the character. I thought the character was really good, and I thought that they worked really well together. And I thought she worked really well with Carl Weathers. But so I think that it should have been acknowledged that she wasn't there.
Yeah, me
for
too.
Sure. Yeah, and
I thought they did it in a good, quick way.
They did go quick, and because they moved directly away from it and went right into, well, what happened to Gideon? That's the next one.
Right.
And which seems like Moff Gideon is now, he's in a jail cell. That one, when they push towards that, you're like, well, that's a bigger plot point.
Yeah.
That's coming back.
Definitely.
That's coming back. Because we know John Carlo is in the season.
Yeah.
So.
He did all the press.
He did, right. So that's what sets up.
He's a great villain.
He really is. And I think that this all sets up a lot of stuff that's going to happen. I'm getting scared, though, Steph.
Why?
I feel that Grief might eat it this season.
Oh,
although
no.
They'll probably bring him back in season 5 now. But like, but I don't know. I feel like he's going to eat it. I hope he doesn't. I really hope he doesn't.
I really like Grief.
Me too. And Carl Weathers is just amazing. But then they have this whole thing where he's like, the droid, this is where the whole thing happens with the droid now. This is, I love that they use the parts. They actually have the full parts. And that shot is amazing. And they wind up, that was a funny scene. They take the whole thing away from him, and they're building him out here, and this is where this whole I like the attempt. He's trying, and he's not Nick Nolte, you know. Nick Nolte probably would be able to put him back together.
Will.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have spoken.
Right.
And I think that Quill could have actually probably put them back together and revamped them. But he comes back and he has this kind of Terminator moment. And I love when Grogu gets tossed to...
Totally.
Hilarious.
But, that was funny.
Yeah. And then this I like that the droid stepped in. Just the whole, that was using your head, whatever it might be. But then they go to the, what's the Babu Frick?
I think they're Azaleans.
Okay. So this was hilarious. I loved this scene. And this was, again, the humor.
And Zellans.
The humor in this scene was spectacular because it was the Enzelans. They're funny creatures.
Right.
They're funny creatures. And the thing they're saying is like, I don't know. And then they talk a little basic, which is hilarious. So like, the part's not there. And then Din basically looked like Brett did last night, all humped up in his seat. I gotta show you this picture of Brett, which is absolutely hilarious. I wish that my things would update, but look at this picture. Check this. This is a picture of Brett last night in the So this is how Din looked though in that scene. The aliens, is what they're called.
Yeah, Zellans.
All right. So look, here's Brett from last night in the and that's how Din looked. Din looked like as he's sitting there.
Yeah, totally. Right?
He's just sitting
there. Brett, why are you?
So anyway, so let's get back to the actual show itself. But this whole thing, and I love this whole scene because Grogu,
you're so good. I want talk about smart merch. I want one. Yeah.
Hey. But Babu Frick wasn't there though, and I like that they didn't use Babu Frick.
Same voice actress though.
Okay, great. And such an old school Jim Henson type of thing, and remind me of Labyrinth, and it was so great, right? It's like Labyrinth. And then there's this moment. He's telling him, "Look, if you can find the part, we could probably fix him, but good luck." And that sets up another mission where they're gonna, they're gonna find him, and he's gonna come back, and he's gonna be. He'll be with them, although I think it's a bad choice. But this was hilarious. Like, Grief just keeps telling him, he's like, this is what he said. He's like, I can hear him. He's telling, it's the same thing. He's like, he says, you don't, he's like, I got the first couple times you translated it. Thank you. Yeah. But I got it. Yeah. And that was, that worked that back and forth. But the funniest moment was Grogu wanting him as a pet. And he kept going back. And it was almost like when he was eating the babies.
Yeah.
Like, it was the same type of thing. He's still a kid.
Yes. So
it's moments like this that I think right now are working.
Right.
Let's not overplay it.
Totally. Yeah. But when he went to grab him, I was like,
that was adorable.
Is he going to do it?
Yeah. So good. It was really good. It was great. So
yeah, I agree with you though. You can only have so many cutesy moments when you're dealing with Din Djarin and the Mandalorians.
Right, and it's working right now because of the circumstance that they're in, and then they take off and they're back on their things. Like, come on back. We'll get you that chip. Get me that chip. We'll get the droid working, and off he goes. And this is why I said the Star Wars soup. He's teaching about the navigation system and all that. And the pirates show up, and we have this amazing Attack of the Clones type space battle that's out there. It looked so great. The costuming on the aliens were amazing. And I don't know how you felt at first about the Pirate King. But like I was nervous at first because I was like I don't know about this costume. That shot, right? But then when they go zoom in, that's creepy.
Totally. At first, I was like, the play on pirates, I don't know, is a thin line to kind of walk on. It could be corny, but I thought it was campy in a dark
space
way.
Space campy.
Yeah, it was the way which
that,
I like.
It was very Clone Wars to me.
Yeah.
It was, but in a complimentary way.
Yeah.
Like, it had that. See, when they go for the old serialized feel sometimes, it can really play on the feel of uber cheese and it doesn't land. And then there's times that they do it just right. I thought this was done just right. And not for that long. The space battle still came into play. You see what a pilot and how he's really vibing with this ship now. And he's able to maneuver it. And I loved it. And then he hits the button and he just blasts off and he's out of there.
But, yeah, I thought it was great. Like, one of my favorite scenes of Andor was when Luthen just went completely like Agent 101 007 and like put on his like double blades went into his own space battle. This was great because I thought it was kind of like that, but also like paying homage to the asteroid scene in Empire.
Empire, but it also it had Empire, but it, it reminded me that like when Jango and Boba Fett are chasing Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And it totally, that's what I thought of because it looked like that. And I, and it's amazing how in 2002, when that movie came out, Attack of the Clones, like that, those visuals were just mind-blowing, right? And for a television show to do that, albeit even 20 years later, a television show to do that and look just as good, it's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. It was so awesome.
I was impressed with how well
like
that played.
It's a big screen show.
It really
I watched
looked,
it on a projector.
Oh, you did? See, amazing. Yeah. So, and then this is where, this to me is like, again, without spoiling the second episode, this is really where our story is taking shape. You set it up with the armor of the mission in general to get to Mandalore. And then he shows up in the vicinity of Mandalore on this planet that Bo-Katan's castle is on, and he lands. And
yeah, Satine was there at
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, and then we come in, and Bo's just done, man. She's just over it. And she's just kind of chilling on this thing. There's nothing around. She ain't drinking. She's just sitting.
Sad girl vibes.
She's just, I'm good. I don't want anything to do with this. And what are you doing here? You know, go do your thing. You zealot. And they have that conversation where she's like, I'm here to join you. She's like, they're all gone, homie. Like, we did our thing. Nice try. But that's it.
Then they left me. Yeah, I think this opened up. I love this scene. I love that you were, even in the end credits, we get that it's Pedro Pascal and Katie Sackhoff.
Yep.
And which is what we've been, and you've been thinking the entire time, like, this is a Mandalorian show, not just Din's Mandalorian. And
he can't do it on his own.
No. Yeah. There's so much to it. And I think that this shows a cool opportunity for them to pair together, but also for a potential Sabine to come back and give her, like, a pep talk. Like, I gave you the Darksaber because I think you're a baddie. Like, where's that? Like,
I think Sabine should show up to introduce us, to lend her into then Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Where we go. Because I don't know what, although I don't know the timeline, how that all plays up into Ahsoka. I don't know if they're already gone on their mission at this point. Because remember, so if you look at now, especially now after the comments of
2 years.
Favreau says it's 2 years in between. Like, so that's essentially about, because the first season of Mandalorian was 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So that essentially means like anywhere between 7 or 8 years where that's after Return of the Jedi is where we are now. Now, I think that prologue that whatever happens right after Rebels ends, because Rebels ends right before, like, the actual storyline itself ends right before New Hope and all that stuff goes down. And then they do that, the little prologue afterwards, Or whatever the hell it's called, where you see Jason Syndulla is born and all that stuff, and then it gets into that scene where Ahsoka comes in and tells Sabine, "Hey, I found him. Let's go do this."
Yeah,
thing. That took place after that whole scene in Mandalorian. So so it's like. But does that mean by where we are timeline that they're already off on their mission? So maybe we won't see Sabine? I don't know.
Yeah, or maybe she can like call in.
Call in?
Like, you know, call? How they do the, I forget what they're called.
Oh, the holocron. Yeah, I know, but it's like, I think you're going to have her.
They FaceTime.
Yeah, they FaceTime.
You don't know that?
Yeah, like they do in Last Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Force Skype. But yeah, I don't know. It's
good times.
Yeah, I don't have good times. But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it just depends on how they explain it. They could, but I think the showing of space whales. But I think
I think they'll explain it.
Yeah.
I think that's just like the alt. I think that's what they need, because we already alluded to her in season 2.
Yeah.
When she said, "This is who gave me the Darksaber originally."
Right. Well, the Darksaber is definitely going to play even a little bit more. She asked him, "Do you still have it?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "Yeah, I still got it." And she's like, "She knows.
Like, I've been training."
And she's like, "I can't do anything with it. You know, I can't. Like, look, swing that thing around," she says. "You know, and they'll follow you." But like, she's beaten down.
Yeah.
She's done.
You all need to readjust your lens on what it means to be a Mandalorian.
Right. And then so you should go, "I ain't helping you." And again, Katie crushed it in this scene.
Totally.
And again, she was on the show from Monday. So if you want to check it out, you want to find a way to win that helmet, man, autographed by Katie herself, go check out the interview. Check it out today. Don't mess around.
Heck yeah.
And then and once again, Rick Famuyiwa just annihilated this episode. Did a great job. because it's always tough for the director of the first episode of the season, especially after a well-established show, to really, you got to establish that vibe.
Yes.
And you got to say, this is, here's everything, that because we've got a lot going on, and we got to tell you where everybody's been, everything's doing, and this is where we're, because it's a good, it is a setup. The first episode is always a setup. Things have to happen, but it's always a setup. And I wish they would have given him another 15 minutes. This episode without the credits and everything else, too, and the art. It was so great to have the art back.
Yeah.
But without, it's like 32 minutes or something, too. The second episode is a little longer.
Yeah. But, oh, it is? Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Second episode
yeah,
longer.
It's interesting because while I wish that each episode was an hour, because I just love hour episodes, yeah, especially when I'm obsessed with the show as mm-hmm. much as I am with The Mandalorian, I think that this episode did an excellent job of doing what you just said, which is like establishing what we've seen before, how that's going to move forward, giving us some things to look forward to. Yeah. We're going to get the pirates back. We're going to see more Mandalorians. The Darksaber is going to be involved. Bo-Katan's going to be bigger in her scope of a character. And so there's so much that you already see. And then we get to see, they establish that, like, oh, we're really digging into the lore of Mandalorians.
You're going to lose your mind when it comes to the next episode.
I'm so excited.
I am going to say, because I thought about you when I was watching it a couple times, and I said, oh, my God, Steph's going to lose her mind. I think this is going to be one of your favorite episodes ever.
I was like, this show, like, you guys know I'm obsessed with whales. So even them just having that, I was let's go. Yeah. You read my diary.
But I think that they set it up really well. It's nice to have the show back because... And
it's like, so nice.
And again, nothing against Bad Batch. I forgot I did a solo episode last week. I forgot to even talk about it. I don't even remember. Do you remember what the did you watch the episode last time? Which one was it?
It wasn't it the one where
I've seen 14 of them.
Okay, wait, I'm mixing up the one from the week before where Omega and Tech were in the water and had to escape from the other side.
Again, good.
I liked that episode.
The episodes again from the later part of the from this on, it's good. It's just so forgettable now that you have this show back.
I know.
It's gonna get
and it's tough because the show comes out at 12, you know, and so I didn't finish watching it till 1, and then I was so stoked on it. I went back and looked at some scenes, and I was up till 2. I'm like, I'm not gonna watch Bad Batch right now.
Right. Yeah. And I guess again, it's there to have. It's a nice little appetizer if you need to watch it. But I mean, and like I said, I can't remember what the last one was, and I don't know if you guys still want us to really dive deep into Bad Batch. Let us know. We'll like I said, I've seen 14 of them. I do like the episodes. I do like the remainder of them that I think actually plays pretty well. So if you guys want us to still kind of dive into it, we will. But I do want to a couple other things to. I want to get your thoughts, everybody's thoughts out there on Mandalorian, what you thought about it. But I want to also get into this story about some of the directors that they announced for The Acolyte.
Oh, heck yes.
Yeah, did you not hear this yet?
No, not yet. Yeah. They're doing multiple directors again?
Yes,
cool.
Smart.
I think that's smart.
Very smart. So with The Acolyte about, and this is from our buddy Miguel Fernandez, the great Miguel Fernandez. With The Acolyte, although Miguel, and see you guys covering that at Katie Sackhoff interview, but maybe I missed it. With The Acolyte about to begin its fifth month of filming in the UK, we're learning a little bit more about the people that are working on the show behind the camera. While Lucasfilm has been surprisingly upfront about the cast of the series, not much information has transpired about its writers or directors, besides the fact that Leslie Headland is captain of the ship. First mentioned by insider Daniel Rickman and later confirmed by Discussing Film, it looks like the After Yang director, Kokonada, will be helming at least an episode of the upcoming series. Discussing Film also adds that The Witchers, this is a pretty good cast so far. Alex Garcia Lopez also in the mix. Up to this point, we only knew about Leslie Headland directing the pilot, although we assume she might step in to direct another one.
She's show running it though, right?
She is. I think she'll direct two.
Okay.
I think that we've got now Alex Garcia Lopez to do it, and then Coconata.
The Witcher makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Vibe wise.
This is again getting me more excited. It's currently unknown how many episodes. Either Coconata or Garcia Lopez will direct, much we don't know the total episodes. Besides directing a critically acclaimed film After Yang, starring Colin Farrell and Jodie Turner-Smith, who was also in The Acolyte, Coconata also helmed four episodes of Apple TV's Plus Pachinko, which received rather positive critiques last year, and Garcia Lopez is a prolific TV director who has worked on Netflix's Cowboy Bebop, The Witcher, Daredevil, The Punisher, and Luke Cage, among others. Fantastic! I love hearing this. I think this is a great great choices.
I'm looking up.
Yeah.
After Yang. I hadn't even heard about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. After Yang. It's Colin Farrell.
I definitely want to watch it.
I have it. I need. It's one that I really want to watch. Need to check it out.
It's A24, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How, you know, you just never know how people pull their directors, writers, or actors.
Yeah.
And you have Jodie Turner-Smith in this, and she's one of the stars of this movie. So I wonder, like, which one came first, you know?
Yeah.
But he's the director and writer of After Yang. So someone watched After Yang.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right. And,
Well, it's also because Jodie Turner-Smith and the way that it's going to play, it probably... whether meetings through that and everything I'm excited for that one for sure. But right now everybody's going to be caught up in Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And then, oh, this is something I was going to ask you about. Cause this broke on the other day. Did you hear that Rosario Dawson said that, Ahsoka is not going to come out until like the fall, late fall?
No,
that's what she said in her report. Now it's not confirmed and doesn't necessarily mean it's true.
Huh?
But
so they would have a big gap, right?
Not only would it be a big gap, I mean, there's two questions. Let's say that show comes out in September and it's over by November, December. Where does Skeleton Crew land? Does it land right away in December or does it land in January? Because they said it's supposed to come out this year. So I thought the timing would make sense. You put it in August and then it hits, you know, August, September, it's over by September, October. And then you start airing Skeleton Crew in like November, December, or maybe even December leading into January, like they've done in the past with Boba Fett and other things. That makes more sense to me, unless they do early September, which they still could, I guess, kind of still is kind of fall, but not really. So maybe if it's early September, that still lands in the same time range.
Yeah. I don't know, because she's known for giving the tea when she's not supposed to.
Yes.
Maybe this is like a reverse psychology thing where she gives the wrong tea.
Well, she was on...
But she doesn't seem like that type.
No, she was on it was like Good Morning America or something. She was talking about, she's got, I forget what the movie is, but she's got a movie coming out. And then she's like, well, that movie comes out. And then right after that, in the fall, comes out Ahsoka. And she's kind of like, matter of fact, said it. And it's like... Well, yeah, when in the fall? I think we find out in Celebration.
Me too.
Yeah, I think we find out in Celebration. I think that we'll get a longer trailer and then a release date for it, because this show is going to be over by Mandalorian. This show will be over by late April.
Yep.
Yeah, so late April and then May, then that means that you're going to have, let's say if it doesn't happen until September, Ahsoka, that's June, July, August. It's like 4 months in between.
Yeah, it's not too long. Yeah, no.
Not too long, but I know, because you get Star Wars Celebration in April, which will close it, you know, which would be big. And then weird though, you just wouldn't have anything in summertime.
Visions season 2 coming out?
Yeah, Visions season 2 is coming out. It just doesn't hit the timeline. And like I said, I love Visions. I thought Visions was great, but it's also animation, as Bad Batch has proven. It's not the same kind of hype that, like, Mandalorian.
No, I mean, people want cohesive storylines. Yeah. That's where we're at right now in viewership. But I still like something, and I like it a lot.
Yeah, I do. Me too. And I'm very excited to see it. But Mandalorian, Steph, it's back. We've got it back. I can't wait to see your face next week. When
it makes me so happy. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is like Star Wars fans are living.
Yeah, we're back.
This year, like, we're back, baby.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to, I mean, like, the fact that we had the appetizers with Bad Batch and other things, kind of the lead up from Andor into this, it's like, we'll have these shows to talk about. We'll be leading up until Star Wars Celebration and everything else, too. And it's a good time for us to chat it up. And that's why we want you guys to chat it up with us. So make sure that you respond in the comments section, click like, give us all your comments, thoughts, concerns about the first episode, second episode, what do you think is going to happen? And then, you know, keep on commenting and let's discuss everybody's thoughts on Mandalorian Season 3. Once again, if you haven't, on Spotify, make sure you check us out on video over there, and Apple Podcasts, we're over there also. Get yourself one of those Sith, man. Do it. Sith Council shirt. Wear it to celebration. Go ahead. If you're going to be there, do it. Subscribe to the channel, man. We're almost at 70,000. We're going to get there. We need your help. Last but not least, patreon.com/thebigthingshow. Steph Sabra, where can the good people find you?
At Steph Sabra.
Yay. And for me, you can find me. There's my stuff right there. You can check it out. Thanks, everybody. We really appreciate you. And I wanted to give a shout out to the great Wicked Art for our opening and closing of the show. We'll let him and his wonderful, wonderful art take us out. Let's do it.
I can feel your anger. It gives you focus, makes you stronger.